or thought, well, I got to take care of my own self. And so then sometime you may need help and you wonder why they don't give to you. It's the truth. For if you love them which love you, what thanks have you? Sinners do the same thing. The people down the street or next door who aren't born again will do the same thing. You know? Verse 33, and if you do good to them which do good to you, what thank have you? Well, they deserve it because, you know, they talk to me and they say hi and they da-da-da-da-da-da. No, it's the opposite. Sinners do the same thing. And if you lend to them of whom you hope to receive, what thank you have you? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. You know, sometimes maybe you've given something to someone and 2 years later they say, here. And I said, huh? You say, what's that for? And they said, well, you loaned that to me. And you know what? If you've forgotten about it, that's good. I said, huh? We did? Oh, I didn't remember that. See, that's what you just give it. You just plain give it. Okay. Verse 35, but love you your enemies. Think of the political people. Do you love at them? And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and you shall be the children of the highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He is. He's kind to the evil people. It rains on all of us, right? Sun shines on all of us. Be therefore merciful as your Father is merciful. You know, that's one of the gifts in Romans. There's certain gifts. Some people have the gift of mercy. And, you know, that if that was a gift from God that is given to some people, you have to look at that. Because there's other gifts. There's the gift of giving. There's people who are big givers. There's the gift of exhorting. Those are all gifts, too. We don't talk about those very often. We're not talking about the gifts of the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit or anything else. These are in Romans. But anyway, but one of them is mercy. Be merciful as your Father also is merciful. Now, here is what it says, too. Judge not, and you shall not be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. And then, our famous verse of Luke 6:38. Give, if you do all the above. Amen. When you give, it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men pour into your bosom. And with the measure that you meet withal, in the measure of heart you give with, it shall be measured to you again. Amen. But sometimes we got to look at all the above. What comes before the verse? You know, you take a verse sometimes out of context even. You got to look who's writing it, what's written before that. Amen. Okay, so are we ready to thank you, Jesus? Thank you, Father, for your merciful, loving kindness that when we give, it is given to us as we forgive and judge not and give to those who hate us. We give in every situation. We love in every situation, Lord God. And then it shall be given to us, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men pour into our bosom. And with the measure we give, it is given back to us. And so we thank you, we praise you, and we say to you, Lord, that your word says that you are our God. And when we make you God, when we make you first place, we make our money be first place, then it is you are not our God. Then money is our God. And so, God, you said, you are our God, and you will supply all of our needs when you make you God, according to your riches in the glory of Christ Jesus. And in the glory, that glory is in heaven, and the riches are spread out from every part of heaven. It actually means that. I have it written down in Philippians 4, I think. God lays the riches of his glory end to end in heaven, and he says, according to these, I will supply your need. Philippians 4:19. It actually means that. Philippians 4:19. Amen. Okay, so you can receive it. Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. It's one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Okay, so we're going to continue what we talked about last week, Wednesday, and it's going to be for a lot of Wednesdays, and it's going to be on healing. Okay, so, but it's going to get to the point, you are the healers. And that's what we're getting after. And some of you have already, you know, laid hands on people. Well, okay. Well, never mind. By the way, we will pass out the baptismal certificates next on Sunday. Okay, Matthew 12:15. It says, and this is a little review. Jesus, it says, healed them all. You know, now pain means torture or torment. And it is not in heaven, right? So we have pain pills now, but I hate taking them. I do. But in the Old Testament, they did not. But maybe they had natural pain things too. We were talking about that. Okay, Jesus continually went around most healing, right? Now, there's a lot of spiritual sounding phrases at this time, and they circulate around. We talked about that. And it's easy to believe them in place of the word of God or to make excuse why we weren't healed. Okay, so see, there's a saying like, for some reason, God didn't see fit to heal this or that person. No. Or God heals some by touching them on the earth, and God heals some by taking them to heaven. Now, that doesn't make sense. Remember, we said it doesn't make sense because the only way to get to heaven right now is to die. So Jesus would have to kill that person, not to heal them. Those are lies. Or like just, you know, well, whatever is, happens, is that's what God wanted because he's sovereign. See, what does God say in his word? He healed them all. And we need to even repeat that over and over to ourselves. He healed them all. He healed them all. No excuses why it might not happen for us. Now, any situation is already addressed in the Bible because it says that various sicknesses and diseases, all of them, and it talks in Deuteronomy 28, you know, for the first 15 verses, it talks about what we are supposed to do and what we're not supposed to do. But then it talks about all the categories, all the curses. And it covers all the categories of sicknesses. And then in verse, I think it's 63 or somewhere in the 60s in Deuteronomy, it's a long chapter. It says, and all those things, in other words, it means that might occur in the future, which are not written in this book. You know, like, what's that disease from being in Vietnam? Agent Orange. the mosquito thing, you know, West Nile. all those different things, you know. Oh, okay, how about AIDS? So, actually, if he healed them all, he healed you. Isaiah 53, let's go to 4 and 5. This is going to be a little different than Isaiah 53. It's in preparation for you, this is. Isaiah 53:4, out of the Amplified. I have a Jewish Bible at home that's written in English, and it actually says, surely he has borne our sicknesses and carried our pain. It just says sickness and pain. It doesn't mess around with all the other words. But in the Amplified, it does kind of say it right. It says, surely he has borne our griefs. The word griefs means sickness. It's kind of grievous to be sick. Because in height, weakness, distress. It's grievous to have that stuff, isn't it? Think about it. And he carried our sorrow. Sorrow actually in the Hebrew means pain. Yeah, and it's sorrowful to have pain. You might have pain to the point of crying. You know what? Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. Transgressions are offenses or sin or wrongdoing or a misdemeanor, misdeeds, law-breaking, you know, wickedness, stuff we might do. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. Now, iniquities are a little deeply rooted, premeditated things. Those would be like generational curses coming down. Jesus took the curse for us. But it would be that it's deeply rooted in our background. And without repentance, it continues on. Without repentance, it will continue on. Okay, but see, he took all that. Because it says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, beaten for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace in us and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Amen. See, if I'm paying for it, in other words, God is saying, if I'm paying for all this and I paid that price for it, I want everyone to have it. You know, when you pay for something and then you paid a big price and then you think, but it's not being distributed out there. You want it, you did it so it could be distributed. Okay. So some say today, this is another phrase, if it was fulfilled. Oh, okay, I have to read Matthew 8:17. Matthew 8:17 is actually a fulfillment of Isaiah 53, what I just read. Matthew 8:17. Let's start with verse 16, though. When evening came, they brought to Jesus many who were under the power of demons, and he drove out the spirits with a word and restored to health all who were sick. And thus he fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, what we just read. He himself took in order to carry away our weaknesses and infirmities and bore away our diseases. Okay, let's read it out of the King James, verse 17 at least. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Okay, took means removed, disallowed, withdrew, extracted, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken, saying himself extracted, he disallowed, he removed, he withdrew our infirmities. Now you remember that I looked this up once in the Webster Dictionary, and it actually said that infirmities were weaknesses due to older age. However, he extracted them. He took them. He disallowed them. He withdrew them. Because then he says in the scripture, verse 17, he bare our sicknesses. He made a difference between sickness and infirmities. Okay, because some of you are younger and you don't have maybe that infirmity or that weakness in older age, but he took it. You know, remember that. And it says he bore our sicknesses. Bore means it was laid on him. It penetrated him. He carried it. So he took and extracted the infirmities, and he bore and carried and laid on himself the sicknesses. But there's a difference between those two. So see, okay, that's just something. And if it was only for them, it would not be in the Word. It's for us today. Hebrews 13:8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi 3:6. I am God, and I change not. I like that. So see, the scripture says he took our sicknesses and disease. Ours, yours, and mine. He took them so we didn't have to take them. You have to see, like Dr. Dufresne did in that CD, Merciful Healer, you see your sickness upon Jesus on the cross. And he said, you know, he asked the Lord, what does communion mean? And the heaven or the roof opened up, and he saw Jesus on the cross, suspended in midair. And he said he saw this, the first sickness was cancer, flying through the air, and it hit him, and he jerked. Jesus jerked on the cross. And then he said, it came, another one came, and another one, it came faster, faster, faster. Every disease and sickness came flying through the air and hit Jesus on that cross. And every time when he took that, he jerked. He saw that vision. It's right on that CD. See, we have to see those things, leave them, and leave them in hell, where they belong, and rise victorious. You have to see, just like the baptism, you have to see you died with him, you were risen with him, you are free, and you are whole. And every time you see it in the Word, he healed them, realizing the price was paid for every single person. And I'll tell you what, that redemption, that rescuing, that ransom, that all means the same thing. That price was so huge that none of us need to go without healing. So I'm talking to myself too. Jesus suffered. You're suffering his body so we could be free of suffering in our bodies. Psalm 130, verse 7, and I'll just say, says, we have a plentiful redemption. We have a plentiful redemption. I mean, it says more than that, but that part of it. Psalm 130, verse 7, we have a plentiful rescuing. We have a plentiful ransoming. There's more than enough for every person. There's more any disease every single time. Okay. And because Jesus paid that price, he healed them all. You don't have to look this up, but Luke 9:11 says, the people followed Jesus, and he received them and spoke to them of the kingdom of God and healed them that had need of healing. So see, those people that had need of healing, he healed them. Do you have need of healing? He's still doing the same thing today. He is. Here's another bad saying. People will say, well, I'll say a serenity prayer for you, asking for grace to accept this disease as your cross to bear. Anybody ever heard of it? I have. Oh, yeah, I have. Well, we'll pray for you that you'll be able to get through this chemo and you'll be able to get through this. See, it's no hiding behind God's sovereignty. No saying, you never know what God's going to do. Yes, you do. If you read the Bible, you do know what God's going to do. See, yeah, what do you need when you're sick? Healing. You need healing, yes. Well, that is the word. See, oh boy, I tell you, and when you're sick, thoughts can come. Or other people come and they cloud the situation. And I might have clouded the situation for other people myself, you know, but other people have clouded the situation for me. Well, you know what? It's just like a husband and wife and say, how are you really feeling? Tell me the truth. Yes. He does that. Okay. See, reasonings try to complicate things, and that don't allow thoughts of doubt to confuse you or question God's word. Just remember, he healed them all, he healed them all, he healed them all, he healed them all. Okay, now you can put up Matthew. Now we're going to go through a lot of things in Matthew. I don't know if, you know, we'll get maybe through that and then go to Luke. Let's go to Matthew 9:35. So you can put that up. Okay, Matthew 9. So you should have been in Matthew 8. So you're close there. 35. And I think I'm just going to use King James. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So realizes Jesus' ministry on earth was a direct reflection of God's will for all people and for all times. It is God's will. But what did Jesus go about doing? Teaching, preaching, healing. Teach, preach, heal. Teach, preach, heal. Teach, preach, heal. It's still going on. Hebrews 1:3 says Jesus was the exact image of God the Father. It actually says that in Colossians too. So you want to know what God will do, you look at Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, that's what God wants for you. So anyone going to Jesus for healing was never turned away. Even the sinners, they got healed, and then he said, sin no more, though, or this affliction, in other words, will come back on you. So there is no question about God's will for healing. There is no question. It is his will, and he healed all. All be healed. God wants you well. He wants you free. He wants you healed. He wants you prosperous. But he does. He wants you free so you can go preach the gospel. Okay, now go back to Matthew 8, verse 1 through 3. So Jesus was up in the mountain. And it says, when he came down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. This is Matthew 8. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Okay, now those two words, I will, are the loudest words in the Bible. It is his will for you and me, everyone in the future, to be healed. And I've mentioned that scripture so many times, but just get it. I will heal you. In other words, the leper thought, am I worthy to be healed? Because a lot of times leprosy came from an unclean spirit. And he said, will you actually heal me? Yes, Jesus said, I will heal you. Okay, John 20, now you don't have to turn there, but John 20, 31, and I wrote it out. It says, and many other truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Many other healings he did, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. All right. For the whole word of God. All right. Jesus specified these healing situations, right? These healing accounts that they should be in the gospel. So they're special and we need to look at it. Because for you and me to receive from God, faith is required. What really, faith, what is faith really? It's believing. When you got faith in somebody, you trust them. You believe in them. Okay, can I ask you, where does it say, how do you give faith? That's right. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And you know where that's at? Romans 10, 17. Amen. I'll tell you what, that's one of those you need to have inside of here. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Amen. Now, in that verse in John, it says, by believing you may have. We hear so we can, you hear. Okay, you hear when you're in church. You listen when you're in church so you can believe. And when you believe, you also can have. And we need, you know what, to repeat this, to say, I hear, I believe, I have it. I hear it, I believe it, I have it. I hear it, I believe it, I have it. Say it with me. I hear, I believe it, and I have it. I hear it, I believe it, and I have it. See, what people in the Bible received, we can receive, right? What they had, we can have. What was theirs is ours, right? Everything that's written in those Gospels. I mean, well, that was 2,000 years ago. Well, I don't care how long ago it was. It's forever settled in heaven. What they received, you can have. What is theirs is ours. Their healing is our healing. He was trying to put situations in the Bible. He picked out specific ones that would be forever written in here so that he could teach us and train us so that we also could, in this over 2,000 years later, know that it's ours too. We hear it. We believe whatever we hear, we believe. So we hear it, we believe it, and we will have it. And when Jesus said, I will to the leper, he was saying, I will to you and to me. Amen? God's will for that leper is God's will for us. Okay, now go to Matthew 9 and verse 35 again. 35 through 38. I'll start again with verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That tells you the church, the local church, is necessary. Verse 37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know what Jesus was saying? He couldn't do it all by himself. Even then, he was. He tells and instructs to his disciple to pray for laborers. But you know what? It has to be skilled laborers. People would not make it otherwise. He needed help, even now. I'm going to say more about that a little later, I guess. Okay, Matthew 10, 1 through 8. Next chapter. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew and Thomas, and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Levius, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, go not into the way of the Gentiles, into any city of the Samaritans enter you not. But see, he wanted them to go first. It says, the next verse, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, you know the kingdom of heaven is here now, because Jesus died on the cross. Where is it? Send us if you are born again. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Okay. So when you say, I pray that God send laborers into the field, don't be surprised if you're not the laborer. If at all possible, you need to be the laborer. They were to copy his ministry. But if you'll notice, he didn't say preach or teach. He said go lay hands on the sick. They were not skilled enough yet or knew enough to go teach. But I want to tell you now, you are much more informed. And we're in a miracle flow, in an era of miracles right now. We really are. And we're no different than the 12 that accompanied Jesus. We are no different. This was their assignment, verses 7 and 8. Go and preach. Well, he did say preach. The kingdom of heaven is at hand, he said. You know what? Or you can tell people, you can have the kingdom of heaven inside of you. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. And you know, that's the Great Commission. Mark 16, let's go there for now. And every once in a while, you need to rehearse the Great Commission to yourself, because it's your commission. Verse 15, and he said to them, okay, so right before he was ascended up to heaven, he said to them, go ye, you go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Everybody needs to know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Just ask them if they've ever received Jesus. And if they say, well, I've been baptized, that isn't it. Just know that. And then you'll just, if they say, yes, I have received it, ask them when. You know how I know that? Because before I was a Christian, that teacher at the high school asked me, I went, oh, yes. You know, it's pride. Okay, verse 16. He that believe first and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. You know, every sin was taken on Calvary except the sin of not receiving Jesus. Every sin was taken on Calvary. Except the sin of not receiving Jesus. Then it says, and these signs shall follow them that do believe. And just know that these signs can follow you. In my name, what's his name? Jesus. Shall they cast out devils? Nothing to it. You don't have to, you know, we started out by just all this complicated stuff doing, casting out devils, because that was a trend right when we got born again, 1980, all right? But, you know, I've seen devils cast out of people, and people didn't even know it happened. You just say, I bind you, Satan, and I command you to cease and desist at every maneuver and activity against this person. Stop. Get out of him. Get out of here. And you know what? They have to obey you. Okay, and see, so many people, this is the Great Commission, and so many people say that tongues are not for today, or they're weird and all that stuff. And it says they shall speak with new tongues. Right there in the Great Commission. And they shall take up serpents. And you know, if you're ever, you can use this. As even for the West Nile mosquito thing or ticks or, you know, that anything that stuff causes. And if they drink any deadly thing, if you get poisoned at a restaurant, it shall not hurt you. But especially if you are doing the Great Commission, they shall lay hands on the sick. And what will happen? And they shall recover. The word shall is a strong, strong word in the Greek there. It means it has to happen. Even if it happens 2 years later, they shall recover. They shall recover. Now, this ministry assignment was just for Jesus' disciples. But everyone who one day would be a member of the body of Christ. Because you know what? Who are we? Jesus' disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower. Okay? So Jesus said that the signs would follow those who believe. You have to read that over and over, because these signs will follow me. These signs will follow me. These signs will follow me. See, We sometimes we've got to ask ourselves, are we really a believer? Are you really believing this? And if you do, you have a commission and a command to go preach and heal and lay hands on the sick. It's huge. God's counting on you and all of us to work. Go to Luke 9 now, 1 through 6. Praise the Lord. We're going in the King James because sometimes it's a little bit different in the Okay, Luke 9, 1 through 6. And then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And then he called the disciples of Living Word Church together, and he already has given you power. He's given you authority over all devils. He gave you power and authority to cure diseases. And he sent you to preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. See, it never says teach. Teach is a little different, deeper. Okay. And he said, take nothing for your journey, neither staves or scrip or bread. Oh boy. Neither money, neither have two coats apiece. That would be hard for me. No. Okay, and then, but he said, and whatsoever house you enter into, there abide, and then depart. And whosoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake the very dust from off your feet for a testimony against them. So then those disciples, they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel about the kingdom. See, that we could have the kingdom of God, and we can have what the kingdom of God holds. That's the kingdom of heaven. We can have heaven on earth. And they went healing everywhere. Healing everywhere. So God so wants to be the healer for mankind. He does. So healing shouldn't be the hidden part of the gospel that we find about later. It should be right off the bat. See, God wants healing on display, covering the earth. See, that's what his intention was in the first place. And the disciples had power and authority to heal, and so do you. So, with authority to heal, the disciples had the right to demand sickness leave and health come. You know what? You need to start doing it in your own body. Demand that sickness leave and health come. Demand that demons leave and peace come. You know what? Now, okay. We say, okay, we're the ones going out there healing people, okay? And in our humanity, we can't save or heal anyone. You know, I mean, like a lot of us, actually, this is spiritual pride to say, I couldn't heal a fly or, you know, something like that. But you know what? The thing about it is... We're not operating in humanity. You need to keep in the spirit. And I'm telling you, you're different when you're in the spirit. That's why you need to stay full of the word. You need to pray in tongues. You need to, I mean, you know, sure we can't get all those things in one day, but have a relationship, a real strong one with the Lord. Okay, so in our humanity, we can't save or heal anyone, but we're not operating in our humanity when we're doing this. We're new creations in Christ, right? We sang it tonight. And in Christ, we are free from limitations of the flesh. You know, we thought we were just this humble old thing that couldn't do nothing. But that's not why God wanted it. We're disciples, disciplined followers of the Lord. We are authorized. In other words, we have authority. When you're authorized, you have authority. You are empowered to heal. And when those disciples were sent out there, they were just like you. You and I can do what they did. And actually, we're commanded to do it. Do you see why God needs us on the earth? Do you see why God says that even greater works shall you do? Because I'm going to go to the Father. Well, I know I listened to a CD by Kenneth Hagin on YouTube once, and he said those greater works are could God or could Jesus actually get people born again? Not really. He hadn't gone to the cross yet. So you're doing greater works. The greater work, remember about John the Baptist? He was a great man of God, but he was not born. He never had the chance to get born again. However, he was stored in Abraham's bosom. So was David, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Malachi, all those prophets, all those people, Abraham, Moses, you know what? All them in Abraham's bosom. And then Jesus, when he died, before he ascended into the earth, he went down there into Abraham's bosom and preached to him. And he took him out of there. They went to heaven. So, okay, Acts 1:8. So let's turn there. Oh, by the time we get done with this, we're going to keep going on this healing. It's like a healing school thing. It's going to be. Acts 1:8. And that's why the Holy Ghost is come against. It just grieves my spirit because the Holy Ghost is come against in this town. Somewhat, I rebuke those words. We need to start saying people are hungry for the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah. Right. Verse 8, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. Okay. Now that power is called dynamis or dunamis. It's dynamis too. It means miracle power. But you shall receive miracle power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you. Supernatural abilities you could never possess in the flesh or by your own self. You could, now just think, you have got supernatural abilities. That power comes on you when you receive the Holy Ghost, and you have supernatural abilities you could never possess in the flesh or by your own self. I put some notes here once in. I'm going to read them. Power equals dunamis or dynamis, dynamite. It's like explosive power. It's the most powerful force in the universe, more powerful than any existing nuclear power on the earth. Power for what? Power to witness. Power for boldness. Power to set free people from bondages of alcohol, bondages of drugs, bondages of hurt, bondages of rejection. Power to do what? Power to do what God has appointed you to do in your life. Power to be healed. By praying in the Holy Ghost, you can get rid of I've been abused mentality. And depression. And poor me attitude. The Holy Ghost is a comforter, and you can get of the darkness residue and the infection of your past. Because he purges you of replays in your mind. He'll purge you of bad memories in your mind. But you got to be aware that the devil is trying to sit here and replay a DVD about your past when you were hurt or something like that. And you say, no, I rebuke that. The weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:5, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal or fleshy, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Strongholds. People go to psychiatrists for strongholds. And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm just going to say this, though. And it's no fault of a psychiatrist or a counselor or anybody else. What? Okay. Where the Word of God will hit your spirit is where you need the healing in your heart, your center. The psychiatrist, the counselor will hit the soul area only. Your mind, your will, your emotions. And see, and it just, it helps some, but it just never goes all the way. A complete, entire healing. So he purges and replays bad memories. He purges that stuff in your mind. The brain stores everything you've heard, but the Holy Ghost can boop, delete, and he can purge harmful thoughts by the blood of Jesus. Hebrews 9:14, but I'll tell you what, this is you. Now, I haven't proved to you, I wrote that. It's right there. Right there in my Bible. The Holy Ghost gave me that stuff, so I quick wrote it down. So, see, Hebrews 9:14 says, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge and clear your conscience from dead works? See, it's in the conscience that stuff goes, and he can clear that out with his blood. But you have to allow him to do that. There's just, oh boy, I tell you. Okay, so it's miracle. Now, Jesus received the same thing from the Holy Spirit when he came from the Jordan River. He received the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they said they baptized him, but he received the Holy Ghost from heaven. He did. You might say, but Jesus was specially anointed. But you might say that when you receive the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that you are specially anointed also. Prove it. 1 John 2:27. Thank you, ma'am. I get to go on and then I don't know what that is. 2:27. I'm going to King James and the Amplified. Okay, verse 27. But the anointing which you have received of him lives in you. It abides in you. And you need not that any man teach you. Now, that doesn't mean you're never supposed to get teaching from. But I mean, okay. But as the same anointing teaches you all things and shows you, it gives you revelation knowledge. That anointing gives you revelation knowledge and is truth and is no lie. Even if, as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Now let's go to the Amplified. But as for you, the anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying, power of God. The sacred appointment, the unction, which you received from him abides permanently, permanently, permanently in you. So then you have no need that anyone should instruct you. But just as his anointing teaches you concerning everything and is true and is no falsehood, so you must abide in, you must live in, and never depart from him though. Being rooted in him, knit to him, just as his anointing has taught you to do. You got to stay full of God. You can't just abandon him, never read the Bible, never pray in tongues, never come to church or just come. You know, you guys, I'm speaking to the choir. You are very faithful persons to come on Wednesday nights. You are. Now go to verse 20. See, the thing about that is you know all things is all of a sudden you understand. You understand things because you're filled with the Holy Ghost. Even Kenneth Hagin said that. He said, what have I been teaching? I the next morning, he went, oh my gosh, it's funny they didn't fire me. He says, I've got revelation knowledge. When you open the Bible the next morning, it was like, whoa. You know, it's just, it means more to you. Okay. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, the Amplified I like better. That unction is an anointing. But you have been anointed by, you hold a sacred appointment from, you have been given an unction from the Holy One, and you know the truth, or you know all things. You understand how to apply it in your life. And that's huge. huge. Oh, boy. See, so you're specially anointed, too. You are specially anointed. Okay, yeah. Now, Jesus ministered with measures beyond any of us. But the anointing in you received when you got infilled with or baptized in the Holy Ghost is more than enough to bring healing on the scene. You got enough anointing from the Holy Ghost to bring healing on the scene. You know what? The anointing is the presence of the Holy Ghost himself, right there on the scene. He's in you, and he's not to be locked up, but to come out of you to other people. See, so constantly be aware of that anointing within. So would you go to an R-rated movie that was full of sexual perversion? No. You know, the thing is, you might go to one R-rated movie, though. Did you know that the Passion is rated R? So just know how can I describe it? Just makes your life better. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. See, be aware of that anointing in. Be sensitive to it. Because you transmit that anointing then through the laying on of hands. You're powerful people. And God wants you to know that for these end times. See, we haven't heard this stuff before. Much of it, it was like, okay, go back to Luke 10. Luke 10, verses 1-9. I'll be done pretty quick, though. Yeah, I know it. I And after these things, the Lord appointed 70 other disciples. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore he said to them, "The harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth," now listen to this though, "as lambs among wolves. Carry neither purse nor scrip nor shoes, and salute no man by the way." In other words, don't get it. "Oh, hi, hey, I haven't seen you for the last visit," and pretty soon 2 hours have passed. And you go down the street. Now that can be with us. Okay. "And into whatsoever house you enter, first say, 'Peace be to this house.' And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. And if not, it shall turn to you again." It'll come back to you. "And in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the labor is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. And in whatsoever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things are set before you. And heal the sick." I underline those three words. Heal the sick. Heal the sick. Heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, 'The kingdom of God is come nigh unto you.' And unto whatsoever city you enter and they receive you not, go your way out of the streets of the same and say, 'Even the very dust of your city which cleaves on us, we do wipe against you. Notwithstanding, be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you.'" These 70 were simply dedicated people who ran around following Jesus, watching the followers of Christ. Are you dedicated followers of Christ? Yeah. And they were sent out to duplicate his ministry. Now, those 70 people were just like us, only they probably had less experience and less knowledge than you do. They didn't have the Bible, did they? No. See, when you see the 70 and you see the 12 and Jesus, see yourself. I have a note here. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. Mm-hmm. I was reading it today and it went right with it. We are laboring, 6:1, laboring together as God's fellow workers with him. Right? I keep saying that. Man, I'm a co-laborer with God. Wow! I co-labor with the angels. Wow! Fellow workers, and we beg of you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Now I'm reading out of the Amplified. We beg you not to receive the grace of God in vain. That merciful kindness by which God exerts his holy influence on souls. You have that grace as just followers of Christ and turns them to Christ, keeping and strengthening them. Do not receive it to no purpose, it says in the Amplified. Don't receive this to no purpose. Take it. Okay. Okay, John 14, 12. Whosoever, well, let's go to John 14, 12. Let's get it out of here. So it's so clear. Verily, verily, You know what? When he says it, two minds, it's so guaranteed. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. It's an absolute truth. I cannot take it away. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes in me, the works that I do, he shall do also. Right there it is. And even greater works than these shall I do, because I go unto my Father. Okay, it's whoever believes. Okay, come on, I'm almost done. Whoever believes, not whoever is specially called or anointed. However, there is such a thing as a special anointing or specially gifted for ministry with gifts and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. But John 14:12 had no requirements other than the person believe. Just believe. Luke 10:17. Okay, let's go there though. I'm almost done. I know it's getting a little more complicated. To Luke 10, 17 through 20. Okay, so what did the 70 ones that they sent out that are just like you? What happened? The 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Aha. And then the famous verse, 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. You need to know that by heart and repeat it every day. Behold, I give you in this church, a living word right now. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power. You know what? Kenneth Hagin says, you don't need, really, that word power shouldn't even be in there. He says, they have no authority. I give you the authority, the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all, it says, power of the enemy. He says the enemy has no more power. No, all the ability, which is zero, ability of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you or harm you. Just think what that's saying. You need to repeat that. See, they preached the good news everywhere and they saw healing. And their authority was not limited to one time. God gave us and he gave them authority over all the power of the enemy. And that means we have authority over all sickness. And we can exercise that authority in our own lives. Talk to yourself. I take authority over this. And those that will receive us. See, continually confess that stuff. You've got to have some kind of... See, like that scripture is very key scripture. Many times I confess that over and over during the day. But see, know it by heart. Ephesians 2:6, I am seated. I've been raised up at the right hand of the Father in the heavenly places. And that's far above all principality, power, might, and dominion, all the kinds of demons. He raised me up and seated me in the highest place of authority in the universe. Ephesians 6:10. No, wait a minute. Ephesians 6:10. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And his might raised him from the dead. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. I am strong. I keep saying that. I'm strong in you, Lord, and in the power of your might. Matthew 16:19. Anybody know what's in there? Not you. No, I'm not going to. What? Behold, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. whatsoever you bind on the earth, you will be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on the earth will be loosed in heaven. Those are the keys of the kingdom. He gave them to you. You become absolutely convinced of your healing ministry. Start to confess who you are in Christ, what you are in Christ. You know, you should have started. You should be doing it. Confess it, confess it, confess it, confess it, until you become a powerhouse when you do that. You become more bold. You become more confident. You become more convinced, and you're going to be moved to action instead of withdrawing from people in fear. I'll tell you, it's coming up. It's coming up. Anyway, there's just this revival. You're gonna need this. Okay, so I am done. Got through all my notes, but I'll tell you, it's important. You got it. Start healing with your own body. You've got power. You know what? Look at some of those things that in him by Kenyon. Or, yeah. That. Yeah. Yeah. There's all kinds of sources. Oh my gosh. There's so much resources. Just think those people that went. I will say this though. In John 6, those 70, when he says, eat my body and drink my blood, he gave a sermon they didn't like and they abandoned him. But see, if you trust in someone and what they're preaching and they have a long record of being stable and being there and being faithful and they haven't quit, you need to keep up with them. They will explain later what that means. And they thought, "Whoa, he's a cannibal." And they all left him. And Jesus even looked at his 12 disciples and said, "You going to leave me too?" And in fact, when Nancy Dufresne came, she said, this is how she put it. She says, go ahead, leave me. I don't care. Go ahead and leave. Okay, but... yeah. Go ahead and leave. See what happens. See how good it is. Amen. Okay, there's the song I put up there. It kind of says, it says, use me, Lord. It's on that same CD that we had. So I'll let you play it. It's kind of good to end with.